Yeah. Hello, Internet, except for Brita.
She's going to get mad and quit here in about
a minute. It worked so well when it was just you two.
It did work good.
By the way, that was a great show, you guys. I know I said it in the back channel emails,
yeah.
But I want to say it live and on air and for the recording and posterity. You two did an awesome job. So, Jay, we need to bring our A game because I'm concerned about my job security.
Yeah, right.
You're about to be outsourced. Beard's about to be replaced by a small Korean boy.
Well, how did you know?
My name is Pepe.
small Korean. Hello, my name is Steve.
Oh, God. It's going to be one of those nights, I can tell already. I was worried. I was worried. Skype was the least of my concerns tonight. I was worried that I'd have the audio all fucked up from my experimentation. But
hey, we haven't taken callers yet. Don't hold your fucking breath.
Yeah, that's right. and now we're having Brita's having all kinds of Skype problems, and may not actually be on because I give her about a less than 5 minutes before she gets mad and quits.
Rage quit.
Yep. So. Give her time to restart and do whatever she's going to do.
She's going to start channeling her inner Hulk instead of Wonder Woman. And,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, Hulk, quit!
Yeah, beat a smash.
She's going to nuke it from orbit.
That's like my phone. Did you ever notice that phone rhymes with throne? There's a reason for that.
Oh.
I hear it late at night calling to me saying, Jay, replace me with a five. Replace me with a five.
Yeah, you're going to want to wait till September.
Oh, they're coming out with the 6 or the 5.1.
The 5 whatever, but it's supposed to be
5S, you know, the 5Q, yeah,
super duper whatever.
The 5PQR.
I'm fucking pissed off because the my phone is rapidly shitting the bed and I'm going to definitely have to replace it with a better phone.
They do that. And,
But they're really not making hard keyboards anymore.
No, they're not.
And I suck at these soft keyboards.
I've been
trying to get used to the inevitable by only using my my hard keyboard when I'm typing large amounts of things and my text to my wife come out as bop beep drop jump beep up.
But does it still go?
Every time,
you know, for you might look at an iPhone that has Siri on it because it'll take your dictation.
Yeah, I don't like iPhones.
Well,
like at all.
Okay, then.
And again, my first home computer, well, my dad's first home computer was a Mac LC2, and I am holding a grudge forever.
Dude, let it go.
Nope. Hate it forever.
Sure, you're not part Sicilian.
Oh.
Anyway. We've got like 5 iPhones in the house anyway, so. So I guess that's close enough, just none of them will be mine.
So anyway, what tell everyone what you were doing. Not that anyone cares, but tell everyone what you were doing that was more important than doing the show last week.
You first, Jay.
Hey.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, Jay, I'm
being polite.
Jay took another one of his endless vacations.
Endless vacations. Please.
Jay vacations more than anybody I know.
No, oh, what except about Barack for, Obama?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't actually know Obama, so
I don't know. In the biblical sense, he's kind of fucked us all.
Oh man, go ahead, Jay.
So anyway, spent a week on the Cape at the intersection of the Cape Cod Canal and the Atlantic Ocean, and it was wonderful. It was marvelous. I rollerbladed with my son. We took family bike rides on the canal. And it was just very relaxing, and I'm even more Negro now. Weird, so you'll be happy.
Yay!
I got all kinds of melanin.
See, I can't.
I am officially at the point where the Cambridge police act stupidly around me.
Oh, are you going to get arrested for driving while black?
Exactly. Driving while Italian.
Hey, Tokyo Train Sounds.
Oh, that's the message for you haven't played the music yet.
Yes, that's right. We should do that. All righty then. It is Thursday, August 22nd, 2013, and it's time for the Squirrel Report.
Woot. Oh, by the way, Bob, great line saying, I was born near there.
Ah.
Were you in Bourne, Jay?
No. Nope. Sagamore.
What? Sagamore. Okay. That'd be the other bridge.
Yeah. Well, you know, Barney Frank's favorite sign is on the Cape, the one that says, now entering Dennis. So weird. What were you doing?
I again was also just like you, Jay, taking my my annual family vacation with my full family, and so I was on Grand Isle in Lake Champlain in a tent with no electricity that got horrible cell reception. So if my cell phone was on, it would eat its battery in about 3 hours. And I read lots of books. And slept a lot and ate a lot and chased after my nieces and nephews and got my toenails painted. So I'm pissed Frida's not here.
I saw that picture.
That was the joy of having pretty toes. Every morning I wake up and I look down at my feet and go, ah! Oh! Because I don't wear, like, sandals or anything like that. So I'll go, you know, 90%, you know, and I'm one of those guys that, like, pretty much throws my socks on, you know, at the beginning of the day and kick them off just before I go to bed. And so my toes are hidden most of the time. And then a few times that they're there, I forget that, oh, they're blue.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I went gay.
Well, I mean, that happened years ago. Not gayer. That there's anything wrong with that.
That's right.
Yeah,
unless,
you know,
of course, you happen to be the ammunition procurement officer for the DHS.
Me?
Yeah, preparing for the coming race war.
Or on the horizon.
Well, you know, hey, you know, if you know, I gotta say, you know, if Homeland Security's preparing for a race war, you know.
They got all the ammunition.
Yeah. Go to Chicago first.
I always thought, I always, you know, I can understand, you know, I can understand the racist KKK types, you know, the white racist KKK types wanting a race war and agitating for a race war, because that makes a certain amount of sense, you know, from a fucked up perspective, you know. You know, you see that in lots of countries where, you know, it's like the Germans did it. You know, I mean, it's in its own little fucked up universe. It makes a certain amount of sense. What I don't understand are the black people that are agitating for a race war.
Well, because they can. Can you imagine what the outrage would have been if under the George Bush administration, a manager in charge of procuring weapons and ammunition was a moderator on Stormfront.
Yeah.
Imagine.
Yeah, but, you know, it's like, you know, there's a reason, you know, there's a reason they're called a minority.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they got all the guns. Just look at Chicago.
No, they don't. I'm sorry. It's another one of those. Okay, it's another one of those examples. You know, it's like the liberal goes off on, you know, you you hillbilly redneck gun toting NRA loving bull, you know, crackers just want to wave your guns around and shoot everyone that disagrees with you. You know, well, if we actually did that, you wouldn't be able to say something like that.
Exactly.
So it's like if they were actually worried about a race war, they wouldn't be able to talk about having one.
Right.
Yeah. I'm currently doing this as usual in my armory, and despite the ammo shortage, with the exception of if I really decided to start shooting at people with my Radom P64 and my CZ82, I'd be pretty much all set. I'm pretty stacked deep with ammo for all my major calibers. Means I'm not heading to the range very often, but
yeah, I know. Like I said the other day, you need several thousand. What we've learned in the last couple of years is you need several thousand rounds of, you know, your particular caliber just on hand.
Yep. Yeah, that's so. That's the whole. Yeah. No. We're being, we're totally paranoid for stockpiling ammo.
No, it's not. It's not paranoid. It's you know, shortages are real. I mean, we've had two of them in the last couple of years. You know.
Yep.
And I happen to have procured a new 22 revolver, and I got a chance to test it.
You found some ammo?
Even though there was no ammo in the store when I picked it up. Well, actually, that isn't a lie. As the guy was boxing up my LCR 22, he looked at me and kind of said, "Do you want some 22 ammo to go with this?" And I said, "Yeah." And then I said, "Best."
He said, "Meet me in the rest area off of 495 and."
Best line ever is I said to him as usual, because of course, you know, 90% of all the 22 ammo out there is fucking garbage. I said, "What type of 22 ammo you got?" And he looked at my revolver and said, "Why the fuck do you care?" And I said, "Good point." some garbage Remington 22, and my amazingly enough, my revolver ate it like candy.
Yeah, that's the nice thing about a 22 revolver.
I love 22 revolvers
because 22. I have a Browning 22, and it is very picky about its 22 ammo.
You had a buck mark, Alan?
Yeah.
Nice. They're too unsafe for us to own.
But. Yeah, but it is so finicky about 22 ammo. It's insane. But on the other hand, I have a lever action Marlin 39A that I could put anything I want to in it. It doesn't matter.
Alan, oh yeah,
Alan, no, my, I'm a sick mosquito.
Oh,
it shoots CCI mini mags.
Oh yeah,
Remington Thunderbolt, and that's it.
Oh wow.
Yep, that's a friend of mine found some 22 in his attic that had been there since probably the Carter administration.
Ooh.
And said, "Ugh, I just found this ammo. It doesn't look too good. You want it?" And I said, "Sure." The bullets were white and furry.
Ooh, nice.
And
lead oxide.
Some of them took a little bit of force to get into the chamber of my my 617. But let me and a couple of them refused to go off. But with the exception of that, there was no jams to clear.
Nice.
One of the things I love to do is to bring a 22 revolver anytime I shoot 22s. And I'll just, the ones that don't fire, I'll just put them aside and blow them all through the revolver.
Oh, Loki Dude just said, "Buckmark picky, huh? Mine'll eat damn near anything." And that's the reason why I have 22 revolvers is because sitting in forums watching people, especially people with the Walther P22s, people talking back and forth about what their Walther P22s will eat, and one person will say, "Oh, it'll only eat this ammo," and someone else will say, "Huh, I've used that ammo; it doesn't fucking work."
It just depends.
It all depends on It's not what your type of gun will eat. It is what your individual gun will eat.
Yep, exactly.
And even with 22, and even with the pre-Obama 22 prices, it can get pretty goddamn expensive trying to figure out how to run your gun.
Yep. Well, you know, the big autos are the same way. I mean, you got, you know, 45s that work better with some brand than others. I mean, it just, you know, this load works, this load doesn't. I mean, it's...
Yeah, not if it's my my Smith & Wesson 1911s. Those things will eat fucking anything. What's your E-Series? Does it choke?
No.
Yeah. My Smith & Wesson,
that,
I mean, I've...
That external extractor will rip the shit out of anything.
Oh, I pulled the rim off of some rounds with that, yeah, with that thing. I mean, it'll kill it. And, I mean, I've run so much filthy goddamn garbage wall through this thing, and no problem.
Yeah. I will probably never try steel case in it, but, you know, I'm sure it would work okay.
I guarantee, especially since yours has got like an extractor with an extra acre of surface area on it. So,
hey, let's talk about some of our topics.
Yeah, we got talking about guns are boring.
Yeah, I was going to say you could tell Breed is not here. We're just rambling on.
Well, we could talk about Breeda, but we'd regret
it.
We could talk about Breeda, but we'd regret it later.
Exactly. We
Breeda, I want you to talk about my pretty toes. I'm pretty. I'm a pretty girl.
So it came out a couple of weeks ago, and we were going to talk about it last week, and then we decided to put it off till this week. So anyway. Somebody discovered this anti-gun playbook.
Playbook.
The playbook. The secret playbook.
Remember, actually step in the blood of children is the best.
Yeah. Oh,
this thing is actually, I could not believe this thing when I read it.
Oh, yeah. It is cynical, and it is everything that you always expected the anti-gun people to be sort of using. And I don't know that they used this official document because this came out in 2012, but this is like the playbook they've been operating on, put in black and white. There's a link on the chat. Did somebody put it in the,
I got it right here.
Okay. Put it in there.
It is.
There's a link on the Squirrel Report main page.
Well, you got it to the article. I've actually got the PDF, which is hosted by the wonderful Miguel Gonzalez, because oddly enough, once we all started reading this and talking about it, they pulled it off of their server.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, actually, this thing got me thinking, because, of course, I was thinking as I was reading it, was, you know, oh my God, I can't believe they're being so honest about, you know, about their methods. Because normally they're kind of roundabout about it. Was, you know, yeah. Oh, no, we're not coming for your guns, except for we're coming for your guns. But we're going to say we're not coming for your guns, because that otherwise that'll make you all squirrely and balk and not want to, you know, kowtow to us, you know, sort of situation. I mean, this thing is just directly, you know, directly and blatantly, you know, saying, you know, what, as I quoted in my blog when I first saw this, was one of their things is, don't assume the facts and don't wait for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's saying, you know, the NRA is quiet, and they kind of misinterpret it as the NRA, you know, balking. But of course, I mean, the NRA never talks about something for at least a week after it happens, because the media gets everything wrong, you know, right, yeah, off the bat. But they're saying, oh, the NRA is not doing this for such and such a reason. We need to just jump right on it. As soon as you hear about a shooting, you've got to come on to it, and don't wait for the facts, because they're not important. Talk right about the victims.
Right.
Well, the funny thing is right at the beginning, it's like it veers off into La La Land. Under, you know, the right, you know, like
that,
page.
That assumes it starts somewhere other than La La Land.
Well, yeah, but right, you know, summary of research findings, the overall landscape, advocates for gun violence prevention win the logical debate, but lose on more emotional terms.
You don't win on anything because what? You're full of bullshit.
When have they ever won? They win the logical debate in their own brains, maybe. But there's no, you know, it's like, where is this coming from?
Well, they did win logical debates back in the 90s when they had Republicans willing to, you know, willing to play along with them, thinking that somehow that would save their, you know, their Remington 700s.
But that's not winning a logical debate. That's just idiots.
You can't win a debate you don't have.
Yeah.
They don't debate logics. They debate.
Yeah.
Feelings and nothing else.
Which is funny because
they say, well, guns are getting more powerful. No, they're not.
If anything, they're less powerful
than what was around 120 years ago, you nitwits.
Yeah, I have in the history of my blog, I have gotten rid of two people that I have essentially declared trolls and said, yeah, no, sorry, you go into the spam trap and that's the end of you. And once they found out they were going into the spam trap, they've never come back. Like, period. And, but otherwise, my comment section's perfectly open and I directly address things. You know, I know Joan Peterson reads my blog and she's never left a comment, you know, in my comment section. I don't moderate, you know, or anything like that. And, you know, I never even moderated other anti-gun people statements. But the big reason why I got rid of the anti-gun people was because there's so few of them. I mean, my issue was an anti-gun person would come into my blog, spout off a bunch of their bullshit talking points, and then I'd have 10 or 15 of my readers climb up on top of them and refute these talking points, and the person would never return. And I'm just like, they want a debate. They're discussing this with you. You know, what do you have? And they have nothing. And so I realized, no, they're just littering. They're throwing trash on the ground.
Yeah.
We're picking it up and throwing it away for them, and they're walking away, and they'll throw trash on the ground again. So I just said, look, either have a debate or go away, and then they get nasty, and I say, okay, you made your choice. And that's the big issue. But they always say, oh, we need to have a discussion about guns in this country. No, you don't.
No.
Because we've been asking you to have a discussion.
Oh, yeah, there's
no discussion.
You've
got 1,000,001 forums and 1,000,001 ways for people to come through and debate and discuss the issue, and they won't. They only talk about it in private closed door meetings where only vetted members of the inside circle can come in, or on blogs where you can't even leave a comment because it's all moderated, and they'll pick out the ones that are worth publishing, and everything else goes on the cutting room floor.
Well, I think one of the main things I got out of this, and Rita and I were talking about this, is this is like the, you know, we've claimed for years that they, you know, it's that whole dancing in the blood of the victims thing, you know, which they do every time. And this is proof that's intentional.
It's exactly what they're doing. They know that's all they have.
Right.
That is all they have. They need horrific tragedies.
Right. Key. Number one, always focus on emotional and value-driven arguments about gun violence.
You know, Newtown. They're still harping on Newtown.
Yeah.
Statistically, more children die from 5-gallon buckets in a year than died at Newtown.
Always start with the pain and anguish.
Yep.
Well, I gotta turn around and say this. Actually, Penn Jillette made an interesting point on one of his recent, I don't know, we've been catching up on podcasts, but on his Penn Sunday School podcast, which is really fucking kick-ass. That's on the Adam Carolla Network, if anyone wants to track it down.
I did not know he had a podcast.
Oh, yeah. It's good. It's good. It's called Penn Sunday School, and it's every Sunday. and he was talking about how he'd read an article or something about how while we all speak the same language, we frame the language differently, and so therefore our usage of the language makes it almost like a foreign language.
Yeah, we were talking about that on the score report as well.
Yeah, but essentially what he was pointing out.
Yes.
And he was pointing out, and it really ties in well with this article, is it's saying that if it's a liberal talking, they're always framing their debates in terms of the oppressors and the oppressed. If it's a conservative debating, it's always framed in terms of the barbarians and civilization. And if it's a libertarian speaking, it's always framed in authoritarians versus liberty.
Yep.
And that's exactly what they're trying to say is never they don't want to ever lose focus on the victims, and under no circumstances do they want you to talk about facts or quote statistics or all of that, because statistics aren't, you know, individual crying mothers and dead bodies and all that. I mean, it's just one of those things of the, yeah, a bunch of people die in Chicago, that's a statistic, but in Newtown, you know, these were kids, and, you know, Michael Moore was demanding that we release the police evidence photos of the dead children. You know, much of the chagrin of the parents. Because we need to, it needs to be focusing on the victims. And, you know, and also on top of that, you know, we've got the same debate that's going, oh, Trayvon Martin was a victim, and, you know, who, you know, had bloodied knuckles and a hole in his heart. And George Zimmerman, who, you know, nearly had his brains on the outside, was the oppressor.
Well, that's the point of view that doesn't allow you to take someone else's life, even in self-defense. Yeah. It is according to them, if somebody's attacking you, you're supposed to just let them.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I'll point out that there is no culture. I mean, even in the UK, where self-defense is, I might be wrong, but as far as I can think, I was brainstorming about this today. I can't think of another nation that makes self-defense more onerous and difficult than the United Kingdom, where, you know, essentially, if you're going to defend your life, it can't be with any sort of weapon that you have on you. You can only improvise a weapon at the, you know, after the moment of the attack. So you could pick up a rock or a stick or, you know,
but it has to be proportional.
Butcher knife, but yeah, proportional force.
Yeah, if they have a stick, you can only have a stick.
But like, I mean, they sent a guy to, several years ago, they sent a guy to prison for a for beating somebody with a milk bottle. Excuse me. For beating somebody with a milk bottle because he had the milk bottle with him at the time.
And he was a milkman.
Well, no, he was. He'd been mugged before, and he had the milk bottle with him. So therefore, it was. I mean, it's the blame the victim. He was asking for.
I just don't get that. I mean,
it's British. What the hell?
If I were unfortunate enough to live in Great Britain, I'd carry a real big knife, and if somebody attacked me, I'd just say I was mugging them. You get a ticket. You're sent on your way. There you go.
Nice.
All done.
Hey, we got a caller.
Oh. Caller. We're only halfway into the show. Call you bastards.
Well, we've actually had him for a while, and I've kind of been ignoring him.
You've been stringing poor M Devil.
Area code 360. Hello.
Or Bradley.
Yeah, I think it's Bradley.
A little while?
Greetings, caller. You're finally on the air.
Hi, guys.
I didn't want to interrupt Weird in mid-rant, so.
It was a good rant, but I called in like three topics ago. And I don't see what the fuss is. My 45s feed everything I throw at them, so is my Ruger. 22-45, it feeds every 22 I've thrown at it.
Well, you're just lucky then.
You need to try the CCI Blazer 22s. I can't imagine any auto loader that won't choke on those. I mean, the bullets rattle in the cases.
Well, that's what shocked me about the Remington Thunderbolt. I think they're actually oversized to prevent them from chambering. They're like safety. They're safety rounds.
Well, then they should be going into, you know, the Ruger Security 6. Like that. Everything that doesn't feed it goes into my revolvers. And
I think you can actually fire 44 Magnum through a Security 6. It's that strong.
Yeah, you can.
It would stand up to it, but chambering it would be a bitch.
You got to push really hard. But because it's a Ruger, it'll squeeze right in.
Derp.
Yeah.
That's
now, the funniest part was that the SIG P238, the little Colt Mustang, and I made the mistake of trying to get it to run tool ammo. That was funny. I've never heard a gun actually swear at me before. It's, what the fuck is this?
Sorry. Well, you're gross. Tool ammo. I don't even buy that crap.
I have a marker off. Come on.
Yeah, you got a marker off. Oh, it is a 380. Never mind.
So Bradley, about this anti-gun playbook, you read it, right?
Yes. The perfect example of that is Mike Z. Williamson, or whatever his name is, Starbucks appreciation gun thing on Facebook. Because all the anti-gunner trolls are going over there and they'll make one or two statements and immediately it's, they're insulting, we're racist, we're haters, we have small penises, you know, it's just every insult in the book. And it's like, well, what are you trying to say? And, you know, they have nothing to support anything they say.
Yeah, but according to this, they win on logic.
You know, the quote, the Princess Bride, they keep using words, and I don't think what they think it means.
That word you keep using. I do not think it means what you think it means.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's these are Bill Clinton fans. It just depends on what your definition of logic is.
Right.
Right. I got into a semi-serious discussion with one of them, because you're saying there's no infringement on the Second Amendment. I was like, okay, what do you mean by infringement? The only thing she would accept was an actual submitted bill saying let's abolish the Second Amendment. Anything else is not infringement.
Right.
Really, you're...
That's letting the masks slip.
Putting on everyone is unreasonable.
Well, that's like Joan Peterson saying, so long as you can buy a single-shot 22 rifle, your Second Amendment rights are 100% intact.
Yeah.
So long as you can own a gun...
Right.
You know, for the purpose of, you know, shooting paper targets and only paper targets.
Right.
That's, you know, locked up at your local shooting range. But technically speaking, you know, it belongs to you. You've got your Second Amendment rights are 100% intact, and there's, you know, nothing to be concerned about.
Yeah. Just.
Well, I think in very even twisted world, you don't actually have to own the gun. It just has to be a theoretical possibility that maybe somebody somewhere could own a gun, and therefore it's not infringement.
Right.
You know, like DT, guns weren't outlawed. It was just impossible to actually get them.
Or Chicago. I mean, you could own a handgun in Chicago so long as you had a permit to own a handgun in Chicago. The only problem is that they weren't issuing permits.
Right.
It wasn't actually a ban. See, we're not gun banners.
Right.
We don't want to take your guns.
Yeah, we just, you know... We just don't want you to have assault rifles, and we define an assault rifle as anything that's a rifle, and or a shotgun, and also, you can have whatever ammo you want, but don't have lead ammo because that hurts the bunnies and the condors, and don't have ammo that's not made out of lead because that hurts the cops.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
you're allowed to have frangible. That's about it.
No. Even that frangible ammo is mostly sintered tin and brass, and so that is not made of lead, and so it is armor piercing.
You make the bullets out of the same stuff they make Prius batteries, because that stuff is pure bunny shit, according to the liberals. Because your Prius is so good for the environment. Yeah, never mind all the fucking nickel and zinc that goes into those batteries that they fucking strip mine China for. Well, ooh, but my Prius is so good for the environment. Yeah, which is why they have to call in a friggin' hazmat team if you get into an accident.
Actually, if they made my ammo from recycled Priuses, I would be okay with that.
You might be able to actually get ammo.
He's inside the Prius.
That would be a selling point, you know.
Would,
our bullets are 100% recycled Prius batteries.
That would be.
You want to make a train taste context of
on the road.
Thanks for calling, Bradley.
Thanks, Bradley.
Okay, talk to you guys later.
And that call-in number, should you wish to call, And you do. You know you do. 214-530-0036. And we want to hear from you. 28 people in the chat. And
all right,
that's 28 people that better be calling.
Yeah, we don't have freebies. Let's tell me official call-in.
Yeah.
The official call-in is, what would you put in a pro-gun handbook?
That's right. If we had,
love that. See, Alan, what would you put in?
Yeah, but the thing is we don't really need a pro-gun handbook because it's already been written, you know, several times. You know, all these books that are like full of, you know, facts and crap like that matter.
Hell, the Obama Commission CDC report is a pretty goddamn good program.
Yeah, there you go.
Even though it's constantly citing the Joyce Foundation.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, they had to admit that, yeah, well, anywhere from 100,000 to like a million defensive gun uses occur every year. Oops. But Newtown. How dare the NSSF put out anything?
See, the problem,
Newtown.
The problem is this is an advertising manual, and the reason you need advertising is because people are not necessarily going to automatically believe the bullshit you're shoveling, so you have to sell it to them.
Well, again, who has the biggest, gaudiest, most over the top beer commercials? Is it the good beers?
No, it's the shitty beers.
Is it the shitty, crappy beers?
Yeah, exactly.
Bing, ding, ding.
Yep. So, you know, I mean, it's... And it really, it doesn't take... I mean, the most effective playbook really is the liberals themselves. You know, you see stuff going on in these liberal hellholes, and people are all the time are going, shit, I need to buy me a gun.
Yep.
And the reality, you know, people are not stupid. You know, the Soviet Union tried this, and you know, they tried to say, oh, yes, Soviets, the best country, the Soviet Union, we're so much better than those capitalists. We're awesome. And, you know, as the 40s segued into the 50s, that segued into the 60s and segued into the 70s, people in those socialist hellholes started seeing the difference between the United States and Western countries and their shitty existence. And it pretty soon the whole, you know, we're so much better than them became laughable. And everybody knew it. And I think that's what's happening with the gun thing. You know, they sold this in the 60s is when most of this really took off. You know, and it was, you know, there was a few race riots and it scared the white people. And there were a few assassinations that they could dance in the blood on, you know, and you know, push these gun bills through and the gun bans and all that. And people kind of looked around and went, you know, and then, I'll give Florida, you know, Florida props for starting the really kicking off the concealed carry thing in the '80s. And it kind of steamrolled from there. And you know, we've talked about it before. You know, every time they did, some state did this, it was like, oh, blood in the streets, people shooting each other over car accidents and road rage and blah, blah, blah. And then that doesn't happen and people realize it. And you know, all the time people are making the individual decision based on their own experience and their own observation to go out and get a concealed carry permit or just buy a gun and keep it in their house, whatever. And they're just, you know, at a certain point, the idiocy of the liberal position becomes so great that it's laughable. And it just, it's like the cascade effect. Everybody just goes, it's just bullshit.
Yep. Or the whole thing of the violent crime is at, you know, 1964 levels right now.
Yeah.
And yet, the ammo shelves are completely empty. The gun shelves are just barely have got a few random samples on them.
Right.
You know, I talked to the CEO of Car Arms and I'm like, hey, you know, you're doing all this CW stuff. You're going to make a CW45 or CM45. And he said, we are trying so damn hard just to keep up with demand. Why would we waste time developing new guns?
Right. Yeah.
That was something I noticed both at SHOT Show and the NRA convention. Yep. Was nothing. Nobody had anything new.
Nope. Well, there was a couple of bit.
None
of the big people, none of the big guys had anything.
There was very little that was actually new this year because they are running at double full capacity just to keep their existing inventory going.
Yep. Hey, yeah, more callers. This is area code 417. Hello.
Hello. Well, how's
greetings, caller.
We're doing great.
What you're talking about the Playboy.
What's your name?
Earlier. My name's Chris.
Hey, Chris.
And you were talking about that playbook earlier.
Yes.
And that got me thinking back when I was in college as a 30-something retreaded ex-truck driver back during the end of the Carter administration in the early 80s. I had an English teacher who made the mistake of expressing her belief that we should have English-style gun laws. And being a perverse sort of person I was, I took that opportunity to turn in a lot of papers that were pro-gun. And in the process, although I wasn't supposed to have to do that for freshman English, she used to say, "Can you prove this?" And so I started researching them. And I found that first thing I learned was that when you looked at an anti-gun mailing from Handgun Control, Inc., you had to dig down through something like four or five layers of lies to refute them. You couldn't just take the overt argument on top, because that still left the underlying lie, and they still won. It actually, they were lies built upon lies built upon lies. And I don't know if that's mentioned in that playbook of theirs.
Well, they don't call them lies.
But that was part of it. And the other thing, you know, then that led to the question of why do people who supposedly want to improve society feel the need to lie so steadily about it? Yep. And what I found over the intervening years since back there in 1982 is these people who want to ban guns, and that's what they want, and some people like Feinstein have actually been stupid enough to come out and say it. But they change the reason practically, every 3 or 4 years. When one reason no longer is working, they come up with another rationale. But it's always the same people, it's always the same groups, and the goal is always to get rid of firearms. They know it does not, there is no crime reduction involved in this. The entire goal is to disarm the civilian population.
Yep.
To completely gut the reason that the Founding Fathers recognized and guaranteed the right to keep and bear arms. But anyway, that's all I wanted to say. I'll let you guys go back.
Well, thanks for calling.
Thanks for calling, Chris.
And we got more calls. Man, they're stacking up.
Excellent.
Well, that was actually something that I discovered back during my conflicted anti-gun, year, really. Because let's face it, there's pro-gun people that were born into it, there's anti-gun people that were born into it, and then there's people that follow the facts who are pro-gun. It didn't take me too long, but I kept thinking, I found all these anti-gun lies that were switching me, switching my position rather rapidly, and I went, well, the NRA's got to be doing just as bad, and I still haven't found anything, because oddly enough, we've got all these people that say, the reason for me to own a semi-automatic rifle, fuck it, it's in the Constitution, fuck you, that's why, which is a perfectly valid reason, but it's also a reason we don't need to cite. Because even if someone does not believe in the Constitution, and even doesn't believe that we have a fundamental right to have a gun, still the facts and the numbers state that even if we don't have a fundamental right, you're better off having one.
Yep. Let's take some calls.
Okay.
All right.
Area code 972. Hello.
Good evening. This is Scribbler.
Hey, Scribbler.
Scribbler. I know that dude.
Indeed you do. And I'm actually back in Texas now.
All right. Welcome back.
It's good to be back in Texas. just sort of thinking from a few minutes ago when you, Alan, were talking about the corollary between, the Soviet Union and us way back in, you know, 1560s. But, you know, all of them are talking about, oh, the evils of the decadent West. It's like they acknowledge that, you know, the other side's better. And then people start seeing it as, decadence. That actually starts to sound really good right now because this hair shirt is itchy.
Yeah, that's the other problem liberals have. They're all miserable.
Right, and the thing is, there are enough cases out there these days of, you know, look, this person saved their own life. This person's just having a world of fun with gum. All these different things that the left is often, you know, parading about saying, this is so evil, and people are looking at that and saying, where's the evil in that? That looks awesome. And so it truly does entertain the level to which they are advertising for us. And, of course, you get the people who are like, no, hair shirts are the only way to be. We are evil. We are evil people, and we need to suffer for it. And we're not going to get to those people anyway.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Come join us. We promise you a life of misery.
Yeah, the problem is until recently, there wasn't really a good way to point those people out and say, hey, you're a fucking idiot, and you don't represent everyone else. Because you've got to remember, I mean, it wasn't until the collapse of Dan Rather, you know, the mainstream media owned the message. You know,
but I mean, these days, all things are different.
Right, and they're
the whole reason why the assault weapons ban went through is they had, you know,
yeah.
this is the semi-automatic assault rifles, and they had a police officer shooting a full auto AK.
Right.
I mean, it was. It was well after the assault weapons ban expired that I still was encountering people that thought that somehow that 94 ban had something to do with full auto weapons.
Oh, they still think that. Even to this day, they think that.
I think it's getting thinner.
Just makes it such that if people have these misconceptions, we can. Just with a few keystrokes, we can pull up the NSA, we can pull up all these things, and we can just overwhelm them with the data.
Yep.
And I actually have found people who are willing to finally say, it's interesting, I've never had someone say after a single argument, okay, you're right, I've changed my mind. They will, however, say, okay, we'll just stop talking about this now. And then like a week later, they'll come back and say, so yeah, you were right, but they will never ever do it the first time.
No, it takes time. Nobody likes to be wrong, especially when they are wrong.
Well, and also, let's face it. I mean, it's one of those. I've got some anti-gun people I work with, and I'll just say, look, I'm not going to sit here and just proselytize to you. You don't believe me, and for obvious reasons, I wouldn't trust me either. You know, so I'd say go. Go, you know, and I would say, you know, stay away from the NRA, stay away from all these pro-gun sites, go to places like the FBI, go to places like the CDC, and actually look at the numbers, and then we'll talk. And guess what they never, ever look at is the fucking numbers.
Yeah. No.
Because they know me well enough to know that I'm not gonna bluff them. They know I'm not bluffing. They know that I've read the numbers, I've gone through all of this stuff. And if they go through and take that, you know, take that blue pill, that they're going to go down the rabbit hole and they're going to suddenly realize that everything is wrong. And that's a very, very painful experience for someone who's invested their ego in a complete false ideology.
Yeah, I do get the la, 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 I can't hear you. Not infrequently.
Yep. That happens. Hey, thanks for calling, Scribbler. We got two more people and we're running out of time.
Awesome. Thanks, Scribbler. Thanks.
All righty. Good talk.
Yeah, let's take another one. This one says area code 513. Hello.
Hello.
Ooh.
How are you?
We're okay. You're very, very, very faint.
Oh, okay. How's
That's
that?
Better.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Much better.
Okay, great.
Who are we talking to?
I just got closer to the microphone there. This is Emily. Hello.
Hi, Emily.
The one with the assault zucchini on the chat.
That's the only kind of zucchini.
I've listened to you for, I don't know, like 4 or 5 weeks, and I'm enchanted. So, thanks for doing the show.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah. I don't know it seems like all this infringement on people's rights is accelerating. It's like, they want to, you know, come into people's houses to smoke and interview them for Obamacare.
Oh, yes.
Look around their house and be nosy, and I don't think that's right. I wonder if people have recourse to not let them in.
No.
Besides, you know, the Constitution, which doesn't seem to count anymore.
No, not these days. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I think the...
I'm not going to let them in.
Yeah.
If they want in, they're going to have to break my door.
Well, and that it may come to that, you know. I mean, it may come to
that's
people.
The reason why they want to ban guns. Because
right.
If somebody kicks down my door, I don't give a shit who they are. I've done nothing wrong, and whatever type of fucking, you know, warrant they're going to flash around is not going to be legitimate. So they may catch some lead.
Yep.
Thanks for calling, Emily.
Well, I guess I'll get off and go back to listening. And just wanted to call in and say howdy.
Okay.
Thanks
for calling.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And we got another call here. Area code 843. Hello.
Hey, Alan. This is Ben.
Hey.
How you doing?
Doing all right.
I think you're really onto it. I think the internet, I think, has played a big part in us winning this gun control debate, because it not only allowed us to find another message stream other than mainstream, it also allowed pro-gun people to aggregate and share knowledge and abilities that allowed us to counter a lot of these anti-gun arguments.
That's an excellent point.
And this anti-gun playbook, maybe it might have only been codified this past year, but they've been using it for a long time.
Yeah,
somebody,
I think so,
just
too.
Finally sat down and codified the rules they were using. But I think the fact that we do have another data stream besides mainstream media plays a big part in not only the pro-gun victories we get these days, but the pro-liberty victories. They can't cut off the tap, you know what I mean?
Yep. Well, they're sure trying.
they're trying. But the internet is collapsing a lot of their usual routes, such as the newspapers.
Yep.
You got big-time newspapers selling for pennies on a dollar now.
Yep. Boston Globe. I think it was actually bought by a kid with a paper route somewhere in Charleston.
Yeah. Which one was it? Was it the Boston Globe or the New York Post? Which one was originally sold for like $1 billion and then sold recently for like $70 million? Is that the Boston?
Yeah.
Boston Globe.
Yeah. Man, talk about a bath.
And the progressives were all in the tizzy because, I can't think of the guy's name, but he was a fairly libertarian guy that bought the paper. They're all in the tizzy because they
Murdoch.
Think it's going to go. No, not
what,
Murdoch.
What
it was
Murdoch.
Bezos.
Yeah, the thing is, Jeff Bezos is not really a libertarian. He's an Obama supporter.
Well, maybe I got the news wrong on that one. I thought he...
No, he's all up in Obama's business. He's
typical.
Yeah. Well. Anyway. Yeah. But the point is like you said, it's people are relying on. I mean, the reason those things are failing is because they're losing their audience. So.
Yeah. Remember when Newsweek got sold for what, $5?
Oh, it was Newsweek sold for $1.
Yeah. I wish they had asked me. I would have put 20 down.
It sold for $1, an assumption of debt.
Yeah, that's.
Oh, I wouldn't do that.
No. Oh, yeah.
Well, a lot of it is nobody has the guts to tell them that the emperor has no clothes. They're all, you know, slapping each other on the back and what a good job they're doing, and don't realize they're out of touch with the majority of the people.
where the circulation goes down and
yeah, but the
going out of business.
Yeah, but those people don't matter. You know, those of us living in flyover country are immaterial. We don't, you know, as far as they're concerned, we don't matter.
Did you hear about the initiative have in Colorado?
Oh yeah,
start a North Colorado.
Yeah, I think that's hilarious. There, yeah. It ain't going to happen, but it's a good.
Yeah, I think the chances of it are somewhere between slim and none, but
it's still interesting.
It does make a statement.
Yep. Yeah, and Holder today decided he was going to sue Texas over the voter ID, and the Attorney General of Texas and the Governor of Texas both were like, "Oh hell no." So.
Yeah,
I want to see Rick Perry challenge Obama to a knife fight.
Pistol,
he would, too.
Pistol duel. 30 paces.
I got in a discussion on Facebook with one of my more progressive friends. He was talking about voter ID and all that. And I said, you know, these same people that are hollering about voter ID suppressing their votes, what loop do they go through to get a fake ID to drink? Yet they can't go to the highway department and get a real ID to vote?
Yeah.
If they want to vote...
Well, that's because requiring an ID is, you know, charging a poll tax. Unlike weird night...
If you want to vote, you'll find a way.
Well, but see, that's exactly the point they make, is what can you do in society these days that does not require an ID? You have an ID anyway. This whole oh, poor people don't have IDs is a straw man argument. It is completely false. Everybody has an ID. You can't get welfare benefits without an ID. You can't get food
Sometimes
stamps.
Several of them.
You can't get food stamps without an ID. You know, it's you have to have an ID. You can't operate in the United States without an ID. So this, you know, it's ludicrous to try to claim that, oh, yes, requiring an ID is discriminatory because some people don't have them. Everybody has one.
Mm-hmm. I mean, how else they going to buy their cigarettes and alcohol with their food stamps?
Exactly. Hey, thanks for calling. We're about out of time.
No problem. One more thing. Jay, did you get my pictures of my acquisition?
Oh, Jay?
I think we lost Jay.
What? Huh?
Hello. All right, then.
Sorry.
Hey, anyway.
Talk to you later.
All right. Bye.
I think you got some gun porn from him, Jay.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo! Thank you.
Wow, that hour went quick.
Yeah.
We didn't even get to talk about all the shit we were going to talk about.
You didn't get a chance to rant about the NFA, Alan.
I know. Terrible.
I'm disappointed.
I'm disappointed, too.
I want my money back.
I like a good NSA rant. You know, I love Glenn Greenwald took a page out of the Breitbart playbook, you know, and did this, you know, he's been doing this dribble releasing of the documents, and it's allowed the NSA and the administration to just get completely twisted up in lies, you know, because they release the most innocuous of all papers. You know, and the NSA is, you know, says some kind of lie, and then they release another paper that disproves that lie, and then the NSA lies again, and then you know, it's just they're just doing this. It is brilliant, and it is so effective against because liberals, you know, just like the playbook, liberals have to lie. They cannot tell the truth and get their agenda, because if they told the truth, nobody would want it. So by dribbling this stuff out, you get this like overwhelming pile of lies about this stuff that you just and it's like it just builds and builds and builds. It's brilliant. I love it. Mini rant. Y'all can talk now.
What? I'm sorry, I was looking at pornography.
I like babies.
Yeah, I think we're done. All right. Well, thanks, everyone, for listening. And thanks to the people that called in. And screw you to the people that didn't call in.
Right. To hell with you.
Call in next time. Or we'll hate you forever. No, I'm
kidding. I have a hamburger on you.
We won't hate you forever.
We'll tell Brita your response. You're one of the upper management at Skype. And we'll disembowel you.
My toes are pretty.
Oh, all right. Good night, everybody.
Good night,
Internet.